When they're not covering the sports world, they're talking about the world of professional wrestling. It's Sports Guys Talking Wrestling. Here's Stu Myrick.
Welcome to another edition of Sports Guys Talking Wrestling. Stu Myrick coming to you live from Austin, Texas. Got a great show for you. Let's jump right into it. Joining me by phone, of course, the big news that came out today is that WWE announced starting July 19th, SmackDown will be on Tuesday nights on USA Network and will be live. And on top of that, they say they're going to have, quote, a distinct roster. So, of course, that brings up the memories of the brand split. And to help us remember the good old days of the brand splits, our good friend Brian Fritz from Between the Ropes podcast, Sporting News, and currently of UCF baseball. Is that correct, Brian?
That is correct. And I'm just glad they could be a part of this wistful trip down memory lane when it comes to the brand split.
All right. So when you woke up this morning and you see the alert that SmackDown is going live, first reaction?
You know, honestly, I knew that it was big news, but I wasn't shocked by it because this is something that I think a lot of people have been wondering about ever since SmackDown moved from Sci-Fi over to USA Network. And there was even rumors at the time of that happening that it could be going live, could it be changing nights. It makes a lot of sense for it to go live, especially from a USA Network standpoint. And you know this as much as anybody, that, you know, there's such, you know, an importance now on live programming when it comes to advertising and be able to get more advertising money, because if you make it as something that people have to watch live, that means they're going to sit through the commercials and they're going to see all those commercials. So it makes a lot of sense for USA Network. You know, they want to get their ratings up even higher so they can charge a higher advertising rate throughout the entire station. They need to be in that top, you know, three block of cable stations. So it makes sense for that. It makes sense from WWE's standpoint as well to want to go live, because there is just more discussion about the product and the show itself when it is live, you know, throughout social media. And, you know, they'd rather do a show that way than, you know, doing it the way that they have been doing, where, you know, they tape it on a Tuesday, they air it on a Thursday. A lot of people follow along with the spoilers. And you can't do that now if the show is live.
Well, that's true. And one of the things that kind of surprised me, and correct me if I'm wrong, as far as a cost effect, it doesn't cost WWE much more to do it live than it was to tape it, can it, and then air it two nights later.
Yeah, I think the only additional cost that they have, obviously, is the satellite time. So there is a heightened cost there, but... And I don't know who's the one that really pushed for this. I would think it would be both WWE and USA Network that did, probably a little bit more on USA Network's end, you know, but obviously there's a heightened cost to this, but it's not as much as you would think, like you said, because there's already a crew there. You know, it's not like they're creating a new show from the ground up. I mean, they were already taping it. The difference now is they've got to do it to where it is going to be live. So they have to, you know, block it out even more carefully. They can't redo things, and they have to pay for the satellite time.
Talking to Brian Fritz from Between Ropes and Sporting News. You can follow him on Twitter at Brian Fritz. Well, then let's talk about, you know, the implication of a brand split. We remember, you know, the last time they had a brand split, which ended about 5 years ago. The first thing comes to my mind is they had two world titles. Are they going now? I've heard both rumors. Personally, I think it would be a bad idea to go to two world titles. But what have you heard, and what's your opinion?
I've heard both as well, so I'm very curious to see what is going to happen. I personally am in favor of just having one world champion, because it just makes that title that much more important, and it also makes it important if the world champion is on both shows. If you go back to the dual world champions, I think it waters it down a little bit, especially when it comes to whoever's going to be this, you know, second champion and the lineage and the importance and whatnot. I'll understand if they do it, because from storylines, it adds more. And, you know, they can do some more stuff and they have a second world champion from that standpoint. But I like the idea of the world championship being more important. And the only people that can float back and forth between the shows would be the various world champions. And I wouldn't even add any more titles. I know even some people have talked about, would they ever add a television title? No, there's absolutely no need for that because you already have a U.S. title and the Intercontinental Championship. Would they add a second women's championship? Absolutely not, because they don't have enough women for that. Would they add another tag team title? No, you can't do that. You don't have enough talent for that as well. But I have no problem if they kind of cross over to the shows between both Raw and SmackDown, whoever the champions are. But they would be the only people that would cross over. And I think you could even make an argument to where you say, you know, the champions really aren't going to cross over. Like, one show is going to be the show where the tag team champions stay. One show is going to be where the women division is. One show is going to be the U.S. title. One's going to be Intercontinental Championship. But the world champion gets to go back and forth on Raw and SmackDown.
I tend to agree with you. And on top of the fact of watering it down, no matter what happened, when they had the WWE Championship and the World Heavyweight Championship, the big gold belt, which, you know, near to dear to my heart, no matter what, the World Heavyweight Championship always still seemed a second-tier title to the WWE Championship. So I'm in agreement with you. They need to keep it as one world champion. You could split the Intercontinental and U.S. titles, put one on Raw, one on SmackDown. That makes perfect sense since you have two secondary titles. That way you can treat them both as second-tier titles. And like you said, I don't know how much would be putting, say, the women's division on one show and the tag team division on another show, but I could definitely see, you know, the three world champions, world heavyweight, women's, and tag, floating, and then have, say, Raw gets the Intercontinental title, SmackDown gets the U.S. title, go forward from there. One of the other implications, it seems like this could mean Shane McMahon is going to stick around for a while, and he's not going to return to Chinese television. What's the sense you're getting? You know, they've had this storyline where Shane and Stephanie have shared power, and you had those little subtle hints of dissension, but so far nothing has disintegrated yet. What's your take on the possibility that Shane McMahon may be sticking around, maybe he inherits SmackDown or Raw for that matter?
Yeah, I think he is going to stick down. I think Vince likes this idea of the, you know, feud between Shane and Stephanie. I think Shane is having a good time with it. It's funny because when the news came out earlier about SmackDown going live, that WWE put out this video of Shane and Stephanie talking amongst one another. And both kind of chumming it up, but both saying, so with this move, it means that, you know, SmackDown could be looking for, you know, a good, strong, powerful GM. And both of them were kind of jockeying for that position, which is kind of funny considering that Raw is the flagship show. But you know, SmackDown being live and moving to Tuesdays is the new shiny toy. I think Shane's going to stick around. I still think that Shane will be on one show, Stephanie will be on the other. But who knows? Maybe Vince would say, I like this dynamic and how this is going to play up, you know, the animosity between the two as it, you know, ratcheted up here. And he can keep them both on the same show and he can have somebody totally different in power on SmackDown.
Well, if that's the case, I'd nominate Brian Fritz. So there you go.
Hey, man, I'm all for it. I mean, I got a power suit if they need it. So,
hey, exactly. But if you're going to be GM, I need to at least be like chief of staff or something, okay?
That would be fantastic. I would love that, man.
I've got a suit. I can push papers. It'll work.
There's a lot of things that we could get done by doing that. You know, especially from an entertainment aspect.
Oh, absolutely. Talk with Brian Fritz from Sporting News and Between the Ropes. So now that Shane is going to stick around for a while, and the possibility that he may inherit one show and Stephanie inherits another show. What about Triple H? What is, because there's been this kind of a understanded rumor that, you know, eventually Triple H will come back and want, you know, he and Stephanie will put on this power play to gain control back from Shane. Does that get put on the back burner? Does Triple H even come back to TV in a management role? Or does he come back, you know, as a wrestler role? After all, he did just sign that three-year wrestler contract extension.
Yeah, there's a lot of different things they can do with him. I think the most interesting thing that they could do is, because they went out of their way in this release that the WWE put out on their own, and also in the story with Variety talking about SmackDown, that they said they want Raw and SmackDown to be different. They want they're going to have different creative people involved. They want them to have a different look and a different feel, and they're going to have their own talents and their own storylines. So to that, I would say, why not let Triple H be the guy that is creatively in charge of SmackDown and hand that show off to him, because so many people have enjoyed what he has done with NXT. Why not let him do that same thing and let Vince and Kevin Dunn be hand off on SmackDown and let Triple H do that and see if the success he's had with SmackDown can resonate on a bigger platform like, you know, what he can do here on USA Network with SmackDown. I don't know if he's going to be given that opportunity. I would love to see it. I think it'd be very interesting. But, you know, in the meantime, he's coming back sooner or later in storyline form. It has been pretty curious that they don't even mention his name, really, and they keep him separated from Stephanie, and they keep him out of that entire storyline. I think that's done on purpose because, you know, when he does come back, he'll have more of an impact. And I wouldn't expect that to happen until maybe SummerSlam. But, you know, I think the role that I really want to see him in is the guy that's really running SmackDown.
And it does seem like little by little, and, you know, talk behind the scenes, behind the curtain, it seems little by little you're seeing more of Triple H's touch. For instance, on Raw Monday night, I heard two or three references to wrestling, which, you know, for the last few years has been kind of the don't say that word. Vince says, don't say that word. It's not wrestling. But yet I heard wrestling mentioned at least three or four times Monday. I've heard more emphasis on the titles, more emphasis on the fact that these guys that have been coming in, like AJ Styles, like Gallows and Anderson, they're acknowledging their past experience, whether it's New Japan or the independent scene. I'm with you. I want to see him, behind the scenes, take creative control of SmackDown, and I think it could be a distinct brand. With that being said, you mentioned NXT. What does this mean for NXT? What does this mean for the NXT roster? Because, you know, yes, the roster is deep. Their talent roster is deep for Raw and SmackDown, but they're going to have to fill some holes. And you've got guys in NXT like Finn Balor, like Samoa Joe, like Eric Young or Shinsuke Nakamura, who are there just to, you know, mainly give NXT some rub. But, you know, they're going to be taking spots on SmackDown or Raw in the very near future.
Yeah, I think there's a distinct possibility, you know, that Finn Balor, Samoa Joe, and Shinsuke Nakamura are going to be up on either Raw or SmackDown. Whether it's by July 19th or soon thereafter, it's coming. Those three in particular. I think Eric Young is going to stay in NXT, at least for a while longer. And same with Bobby Roode, you know, when he finally signs. When it comes to NXT, though, as a whole, you know, I think they can make an argument where, say, you know, as strong as that roster has been, and they definitely want to keep it a strong roster and a strong brand, I don't know if it's going to be as strong as it was, because it was just kind of the circumstances hit the right place, the right time, with the right guys, and all of the talent that they had there at one point. I don't know if it's ever going to be that loaded again. But, I mean, that doesn't mean they're not going to try to recruit more talent. And I think that's what we're going to hear about coming up here, is that WWE is going to be going hard after a lot of different independent talent. Some of them maybe to Raw, some to SmackDown, and then others to NXT. You know, with the carrot of, hey, you're going to be a top guy in NXT. It's a brand that we are deeply committed to. We're touring more. And after some time there, you're going to have the opportunity to come up to the main roster. and we will, you know, pay to get your services. You know, they'll probably up a little bit of pay and make it more worthwhile for some guys to go there. But I think that's what you're going to see, is that WWE is going to be going hard after a lot of different people so they can keep NXT as strong as it has been and fortify their main roster.
And you've got to imagine this Cruiserweight Classic that they're putting on. You've got to imagine some of those guys, like a Zack Sabre Jr. or Will Ospreay, some of those guys are probably going to find themselves in a very lucrative spot, like you said, whether it's Raw or SmackDown or NXT, as a result of their performance in that event. So,
yeah, you know what the funny thing is? I was a little bit surprised by this, and maybe I don't know what WWE offered him or if they did make a good offer or an offer at all. But you mentioned Will Ospreay. You know, he just signed a 2-year deal with New Japan Pro Wrestling. And that might have been him saying, hey, I don't care what WWE offers me. I'm young and, you know, I want to go to New Japan, which probably was the case. But, you know, you didn't hear too much about how hard WWE went after him. He's a guy, even as young as he is, I would have gotten my hooks into or done my damnedest to try to get him now. And like I said, maybe they did and he just didn't want to come right now. And you're going to hear the story about other guys. I mean, how long have we heard rumors about Adam Cole going to WWE? I mean, that's been going on forever.
Right.
But we know when his contract is up, and that's next April. So it wouldn't be immediate. But think of Adam as a test subject from this standpoint, okay? And there's plenty of guys that are out in the independents that are in this similar situation, that they're very good, strong talent. They are valuable to multiple promotions because maybe they work for a Ring of Honor or a Pro Wrestling Guerrilla or New Japan or wherever it might be. And now WWE is saying, man, we need to get more great talent in here, you know? And they're going to have options now. They have options to say, okay, I'm going to, you know, tell WWE if you want me, the price goes up. And if I want to go to WWE, I don't have to go there. Because I can stay where I'm at right now, and I can be happy, and I can work all these different places, and I can be fulfilled creatively, and I can make a good living doing what I am doing right now. And I don't have to feel like I need to go to WWE right now. I might want to go there, but, you know, if the timing's not right, the timing's not right, and I can wait a couple years to go. So it opens up a lot of distinct opportunities that are out there. I'm going to be curious to see who exactly WWE goes after, who they get, and when they might get somebody, you know, and how this all adds up.
Well, and you mentioned, you know, guys they're looking at, the, you know, a couple other guys that have been rumored, Cedric Alexander, whose Ring of Honor contract is, I think, it's either expired or is about to expire. Apparently, he's on WWE's radar. And then Ricochet, I mean, the current one half of the New Japan Junior Heavyweight Tag Team Champions with Matt Sydal. Ricochet has been rumored for a long time to possibly be leaning towards WWE, which, of course, that would also mean he leaves Lucha Underground. Of course, he's Prince Puma of Lucha Underground.
The rumor is, I don't want to spoil anything, but there was a lot of talk about, you know, is he gone from Lucha Underground? Can he get out of his deal there? And the belief now is that Lucha Underground upped the offer to keep him. So I don't know if Ricochet is going to be available per se. Maybe he is. It sounds like he's not going to be, but look at some of the other guys that are out there because, you know, Moose from Ring of Honor, his contract is up this summer. That has been heavy rumors about him going to WWE and them wanting him. Roderick Strong, I do not believe is under contract with Ring of Honor because he's, you know, he's been working there, but I don't think he has a contract. So maybe he's a guy that they take a look at, you know? And what about some other TNA talent? Because, I mean, you know, God bless TNA, but, you know, they still have a lot of different money problems when it comes to their office. You know, still looking for investors, and they might have to sell the company. And, you know, we've already seen two guys this year, two prominent guys, Eric Young and Bobby Roode, ask for and get out of their contracts. And who's not to say that, you know, other guys won't follow suit. I'm not saying I want it to happen or it's going to happen. I'm not trying to pick on TNA, but you know what? They've got a couple of guys that I'm sure WWE would love to get. And it's not to say that these guys say, hey, you know what? I wouldn't mind going, though. I'm going to get out of my deal. And TNA might let him out.
Well, I mean, you already had James Storm flirt with him, only to go back to TNA after Dixie offered him pretty much the kingdom. But
which is crazy.
Yeah, but like you said, if, you know, and I don't think anybody wants to see a wrestling company go under, because, you know, no matter what, even if they can't compete with WWE, TNA is still in that same line with a Ring of Honor or a Pro Wrestling Guerrilla or one of those, where they're still in that mix, and you kind of want to keep that, at least that level, competitive. And if TNA goes down, well, yeah, that's one less place for these guys to work. But at the same time, it does free up a lot of guys to maybe explore some opportunities. And if WWE's got all of a sudden has roster spots open up, you know, maybe some guys that haven't been considered before, maybe they get a second look. So we'll see about that.
Because, I mean, if you're WWE and you look at that TNA roster and you say, I need stars. I need a couple more big stars. I mean, who are the guys that you look at? There's three that come to mind right off the bat. And they have experience with all three of them.
Absolutely.
Jeff Hardy, right off the bat, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and hopefully Jeff is as healthy as possible. And maybe he's a guy that works a little bit more of a limited schedule, but massive star power there. I would look at Drew Galloway and the way that he has totally changed his career since leaving WWE as a guy that still, you know, is a star. And now as what he probably should have always been, a big, kick-ass, strong-style wrestler.
Mm-hmm.
And the other guy that I'd be curious about is EC3 and what he has done for himself on that TNA platform since leaving WWE. And, you know, maybe he would be a guy that they would be interested in as well. I don't know. And like I said, all of them are under contract, so who knows when it comes to that. But, you know, we've seen other guys and other crazy things happen in wrestling, so who's not to say something else crazy isn't going to come soon?
Well, and it's fun to at least fantasy draft. You know, just like you have your fantasy football draft, this is our fantasy WWE draft. So talking to Brian Fritz from Sporting News and Between the Ropes podcast, is it kind of ironic that the news of SmackDown going live and this, you know, imminent brand split comes less than 2 weeks after they just let go several wrestlers, like a Damian Sandow, like an Alex Riley?
Yeah, it is kind of weird. But I think those are going to happen anyway, because they had already had those guys and, you know, they just weren't up to snuff to what Vince McMahon and others wanted to see. You know, for whatever reason, they just chose that they didn't like those guys. Or didn't see a role for those guys. I won't say didn't like them necessarily, but they just didn't see, you know, a role for them in the company right now, so they let them go. And, you know, two other guys that are left, Wade Barrett, whose contract was coming up, but he negotiated an early release, and he is gone. And he's a guy that, I mean, I think a lot of people, including myself, thought was going to be a future world champion. Unfortunately, the injury bug hit him a bunch, and then he just never got back on track. You know, Cody Rhodes, you know, got his release from the company. And he's a guy that, you know, could have had a prominent role. You know, he even put out that release and a statement on Twitter saying, you know, he wanted to go back to being Cody Rhodes and wanted to drop the Stardust gimmick and just couldn't get enough attention of the creative team and Vince McMahon. And, you know, so he's gone. And then, you know, Ryback is another guy, too, that you got to talk about because his contract's coming up this summer. And he is at a stalemate when it comes to his contract.
Right.
So, the timing is kind of curious about this, but look at the roster that they have now. And they're going to bet on, hey, we're getting John Cena back next week. We just got Seth Rollins back. We're getting Randy Orton back. We're getting Bray Wyatt back. So we're getting back some big names that we can put in prominent roles. And, you know, we've got a spot for them right now, and we didn't have a spot for these other guys.
Toph, let me ask for a second about Cody Rhodes, because as we mentioned, he asked for and was granted his release. He had put out his statement on Twitter about how he wanted, like you said, how he wanted to get rid of the Stardust gimmick and go back to being Cody Rhodes. Is there a spot somewhere that would be perfect for him, or at least, you know, would you know, where would he fit in? Or is there the possibility that, you know, say July 19th comes, we go through the brand split, go through the draft. A couple months later, say, you know, John Laurinaitis or somebody contacts him and say, hey, Cody, what do you think about coming back?
Yeah, I never say never when it comes to guys coming back. It just depends on what they're doing and if there is a spot for them. I don't think it's a nasty breakup, but at the same time, I don't think everything is peachy because of some of the things that he said in that statement and some of the particulars that he got to in there from his standpoint. You know, when it comes to what role I could see for him outside of WWE, I think he's one of these guys that wouldn't necessarily sign a contract someplace else, and he would kind of be like this the type of talent that would go all over the place. You know, kind of like what we've seen from Roderick Strong and a couple other guys where, you know, they're going to jump up and they're going to be in PWG and they're going to be in Ring of Honor. Maybe they're going to be in New Japan. We're all over the place. You know, Colt Cabana is an example of that as well, where he kind of pops up all over the place. And I could see Cody doing that.
Okay. Well, and that's and if that happens, you know, any indie promotion in the world would be like, if they get the opportunity to bring him in, even if it's for one show, they'd be crazy not to. So let me ask you this. And it just seems like after his dad died, it changed him. And that's understandable. You lose a parent, it's going to change you. How much did Dusty's passing away, how much do you think had played into Cody leaving WWE?
I think it played some role because I think that he always wanted to appease his father, and he knew those were tough shoes to fill. It would have been for anybody, no matter how good you were or not. And I think Cody's very good. But I mean, he always wanted to live up to that family name, and Stardust had been useful for its time, but it needed to go away, and he wanted to be Cody Rhodes. He wanted to be himself. He wanted to go out there. He wanted to wrestle. He wanted to do something different. He wanted to get a bigger opportunity, and he just didn't get it, you know? I know that he pointed out a couple members of the creative team and talked about that, but the bottom line is it's not just about the creative team, and I don't know how when it came to how hard they were at pitching different stories for him, especially with him going, you know, to them and giving them ideas, but it comes down to Vince McMahon. You know, bottom line, he's the one that makes these choices. And for whatever reason, Vince didn't pull the trigger on him changing back to Cody Rhodes. And that had to be frustrating for him, you know, that he's a guy that has got a family lineage of wrestling, and he's a guy that absolutely loves wrestling. And he's not allowed to go out there and do what he wants to do. And he's just like, you know, I'm looking at the landscape, and as much as I like WWE, there's other places where I can go and I can do things. And maybe that's going to be better for his schedule anyway, because he has aspirations of getting into acting as well. I know that even before he really got into wrestling, he was out in Los Angeles and he took acting classes. And, you know, so he's got a bunch of different things that I'm sure that he can go after going forward.
Talking to Brian Fritz from Sporting News and Between the Ropes, follow him on Twitter at Brian Fritz. So give me a ballpark of how long this brand split lasts, because the last one seemed to last a couple years. How long before they decide either, you know, through, you know, it gets stale or whatever. Give me a ballpark figure about, you know, when the rosters come back together.
Well, it depends a lot, as you know, about what talent they have and how all of this kind of works. You know, how much do they push different things? I would say it's got to last probably at least 4 or 5 years, you know. And I think, you know, in a perfect world, obviously it would last longer than that. It would use this going forward because there is more potential for making more money here. You are probably now going to have two different touring brands for house shows. For one for Raw, one for SmackDown. Never now and then, maybe they'll do a super show when it comes to a house show. You now have the possibility for having separate pay-per-views. And that's another way that they can say, hey, look at the added value of WWE Network and trying to encourage more people to sign up for that. So there's different possibilities, especially money-wise, that, you know, that they want to keep this going. So I think they have to really be invested into it and keep it going for as long as they can. Hell, by the time this deal ends, I think the television deal is going to be over, you know, within, you know, how long was that TV deal that they signed, you know? So, I mean, it's in their best interest to keep this brand, you know, split going through that at least, because that's two live shows on USA Network. That's valuable property.
It's true. That's very true. And you mentioned the pay-per-view. So are we going to look at, say, are we going to have a Raw pay-per-view and a SmackDown pay-per-view every month? Or are we going to take, say, you've got WrestleMania, SummerSlam, Survivor Series, and Royal Rumble as your, you know, as every, you know, all hands on deck, and then take the rest of the pay-per-views and say, okay, Extreme Rules belongs to Raw, Money in the Bank belongs to SmackDown, or what have you. Where do you see that line going?
This is where I wonder about the two world champions, because if you do have two different world champions, then you could more easily do the separate pay-per-views per month. And outside of like the biggest pay-per-views, like you mentioned, like Rumble and Mania and SummerSlam, those other months you could do both a Raw and a SmackDown pay-per-view. I would say, though, if they did that, I would hope those pay-per-views would not be 3 hours. I would want them to be 2 hours. But, you know, there's a couple possibilities they could do here then. So, say there's only one world champion. Or they could even be two. But, you know, you could easily, for these B pay-per-views, maybe you go as far as saying, in May, Raw's going to have a pay-per-view. In June, it's going to be SmackDown. In July, it's going to be Raw. To where that way storylines can be built up, you know, better leading up to those pay-per-views, and, you know, make them more interesting and building up to these big matches at these shows and stuff. They could do it that route. Who knows? Maybe they'll do it the route that they did it before. They'll still do the monthly pay-per-view, and they'll have matches from both brands on the shows, and they'll have different announcers for each, you know, for the show. Like Mauro will still call the SmackDown matches, and Michael Cole will call the Raw matches. You know, so they might just keep it like that. You know, I think the one thing that they won't do, except for maybe WrestleMania and the Royal Rumble and then Money in the Bank match, is they won't have a crossover in talent. So if a guy is a Raw guy, you will face a Raw guy. And same for SmackDown. So that's some of the interesting questions that are coming out of this, because there are so many different possibilities. And quite honestly, I don't think WWE exactly knows. I think this is something that they're talking about right now. I mean, I've heard a couple different people say that Vince is like super stoked, you know, about all the potential of this. So, but I think it still has to be figured out.
Well, and you mentioned about, you know, pay-per-view going, you know, being 2 hours instead of three. What's the temptation going to be to make SmackDown 3 hours just like Raw? Or vice versa, making Raw 2 hours.
Well, the Raw going to 2 hours to me is not going to happen, because they get paid extra money for having that third hour, and there's no way they're giving back money. I mean, it's like an extra $17 million a year or something like that.
True.
And there is no way they're turning down that money, especially when they're a publicly traded company. And I can't imagine them going to their shareholders and going, hey, guys, so the $17 million that we've been making for a third hour of Raw, we've been doing this for a while. Yeah, we're going to give that back so we can have a shorter program, because you and I and other, you know, people that really understand the wrestling business would understand, like, hey, you know what? Maybe that's more likely going to make it a better show. More people will watch, and it'll make it more interesting for the product and that brand overall. But people that don't understand wrestling business go, what the hell, man? More programming and more money. That's good, right? So they're not going to be doing that. A third hour in SmackDown, I haven't even thought about that. I pray to the good Lord that that does not happen, because if you think about it this way, man, if they keep the pay-per-views the way they are right now, you're talking about once a month, there's going to be a three-hour pay-per-view on a Sunday, a three-hour Raw the following day on Monday, and then the day after that, there's going to be a two-hour SmackDown. That's 8 hours alone right there. And then if they add the extend SmackDown, that's 9 hours. I mean, we're in WCW days right here, man.
That's true. That's true. And you're right. And I think that, you know, for those that say, well, if Raw's going to be 3 hours, then SmackDown should be 3 hours. I think the SmackDown creative crew would be very thankful that it's only 2 hours. They only have to write 2 hours worth of TV. They only have to shoot 2 hours worth of TV. And so I think it could be kind of the, you know, for those that have been calling for Raw to be 2 hours, and you're right, you know, for all the creative reasons, the bottom line is ad revenues mean everything. You know, it's that third hour, you're like you said, you're not going to give up those ad revenues. But
what's not even an ad revenue thing? That's just a rights thing from USA.
Right, right, and that too. So, but
right,
you'll get. But at least now you'll get a 2 hour show that can focus on storylines a little bit better. You know, they can do what they want to do without overextending themselves to try to cover 3 hours of live TV on a Tuesday night. Like you said, especially on those weekends where you do the 3 hour pay-per-view and then 3 hours of Raw, and then you go to SmackDown. So I think that.
And just to clarify where I got that $17 million mark, I believe before their most recent deal that they just signed last year with NBC Universal, on the previous deal, Raw was only a 2 hour show, but USA wanted the third hour. So they negotiated that money, and I believe it was an extra $17 million a year to get that third hour of Raw. But in the most recent deal that they made, which was for both Raw and SmackDown, that was for $160 million a year. That was mandated that Raw will be a three-hour show, SmackDown is 2 hours.
Well, and that's, I think, hopefully it'll stay that way for some time to come. I was talking to Brian Fritz from Sporting News and Between the Ropes podcast, so let's get away from the brand split. Let's talk about what happened this week. Let's start with the Extreme Rules, which I think, like Payback, I think it was a little bit better than expected. What were your general thoughts on the show as a whole?
Solid show, two outstanding matches. The rest of the show was kind of there. Nothing really horrible, but nothing really special. And, you know, built up some more storylines, especially when it comes to the world title picture, you know, with AJ Styles losing to Roman Reigns and everything that's going on there. And we saw that play out a little bit more on Raw. But that match and the four-way for the Intercontinental title were outstanding.
Absolutely. And you know what? It is so funny for everyone that just, you know, we've joked before that Roman Reigns could cure cancer, save kittens out of a tree, and could you know, bring world peace, and people would still boo him. But for every one of those that does that, he had a really great match with arguably one of the best workers in the world today in AJ Styles.
Oh, I know. And you know what? AJ deserves a ton of credit because that guy was bumping all over the place in that match. But all these people, I've seen some of them that just hate Roman Reigns and say that he's not that good of a wrestler or he got carried by AJ Styles. You're full of crap because Roman Reigns is a damn good wrestler. And he held up his end of the bargain against AJ Styles. You know, there was a fantastic match between two guys, and I'm not going to give either of them more of a credit than the other because they both together had an outstanding match on that show. There's just so much vitriol for Roman Reigns that's out there, no matter what anybody says about him. And for WWE, they're kind of in this mode right now where they're like, and you start to, and we've noticed this more, especially on Raw lately, where it's like, we don't have baby faces and we don't have heels. We have all these different characters, and our fan base is so diverse and so unique that, you know, they will choose who they want to cheer and who they want to boo. And Roman Reigns doesn't do anything like a, you know, a stereotypical villain, but he gets booed, you know, and then you see Seth Rollins come back, who was a villain before, gets cheered, and then turns heel on everybody. But you know, when Seth takes on Roman Reigns and Money in the Bank, we know who's going to get cheered. It's going to be Rollins.
That's true.
So, I mean, WWE just, I mean, look at what happened in the, you know, that main event slot on Raw with AJ Styles. He goes out there and he goes, you know, I would have won the world championship if only Anderson and Gallows hadn't gotten in the way. And then before, once they come out there and they confront him and the club breaks up, he goes, you know what? We can still be friends, but I don't want you in my ring because this is my ring. So he's doing stuff that you would think would be a heel, but he's still getting cheered. And he's not, you know, it's, they're doing away with this whole heel and babyface thing. And all they care about is, we don't care how you react to our talent as long as you react, as long as there's some kind of emotion that you are emitting.
That's true. And come Monday, hopefully some of that vitriol will be transferred off of Roman with John Cena coming back. By the way, have you sent Roman his birthday card yet?
Oh, did Roman have a birthday?
Roman's birthday's today. He turned 31.
What? How did I miss that?
Yes. Vince tweeted out happy birthday to him.
Which,
if anything, that'll earn him more boost because everybody thinks, yes, he's the chosen one. So, happy birthday to Roman Reigns.
Yeah, happy birthday, Roman. I've talked to Roman several times. I've interviewed him, including twice before WrestleMania this year. The infamous one that I did for the Orlando Sentinel where he was talking about he doesn't perform for the fans that boo him or give him hell and say he's no good. He's there for the families.
Right. Yes.
Everybody went crazy about that. I just chalked it up as, well, it's just Roman, and there's a bunch of different people on the internet that kind of went crazy over that comment.
You know, and that's, and again, they're the ones that, you know, again, you could cure cancer and find world peace, and they'll still find a reason to gripe and moan. So. Like
By
you
way,
said,
let me ask you this because you talked about Cena coming back. Okay.
Yes.
So Cena is coming back. Tell me if this doesn't sound almost too perfect on what they're going to do with Johnny Boots and Tights. And I'm not saying it's going to happen, but I have this theory.
Yes.
So he's coming back on Monday. What's Monday?
Memorial Day.
Memorial Day.
Yes. I know where you're going.
Who is the brand new United States champion?
Look, when Rusev, as soon as Rusev won the title at Extreme Rules, that was all over Twitter. Everybody was saying, okay, this is perfect. The problem is, you know WWE. You know Vince is, you know, better than most. He doesn't go for perfect. You know, it's way too obvious.
Well, you know what, though? I always make the argument for some people to say, oh, it's too obvious. You got to swerve somebody. Obvious is good sometimes. Most of the times, it's good. And it's simple because it makes sense, you know, because it's playing out right. So it makes perfect sense to have the Bulgarian Brute and Lana out there talking about, I'm the United States champion. I told everybody I was going to win this. I'm going to be holding this championship for the next 7 years, which, by the way, is something he has been promoting on Twitter, including when he won the championship and had the nameplate changed, and they did a video for WWE.com, and he was talking about how he was going to be holding on to this title for 7 years. And he could be bragging about that, and here comes John Cena. And Shane McMahon says, it's Memorial Day, and we've got the All-American and the Bulgarian Brute, and I think we need a championship match. And bing, 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 and here we go.
Look, as a veteran myself, it would do my heart so good to see John Cena vanquish the Bulgarian Brute and take back the U.S. title. And not to mention, as a wrestling fan, again, those U.S. Open challenges were some of the best work he's had in years. So right. I would love to see that come back. And if that means him taking the title off of Rusev, well, on Memorial Day, That's just icing on the cake. Shoot the fireworks off now.
I'm going to be curious to see how they do it all, you know, when it comes to John. I mean, it makes a lot of sense to put the U.S. child back on him and start that run with it again. But, you know, like you said, it makes perfect sense. I hope that's what they do. But so that's going to be another wrinkle when it comes to this brand split. It's like, what brand is John going to be on? And if he is doing the whole U.S. challenge again, what other guys are going to be on there, you know?
Well, I mean, I think that would lend itself to SmackDown. Because I would think SmackDown, I don't know if this is just, you know, wishful thinking or you know, I didn't have enough water today or whatever, but it just seems like SmackDown seems to be the one where they're going to have probably some of the more, I don't know if it's edgier, but definitely more wrestling.
You want the new era guys? Because this is a new era in WWE. You want them on SmackDown?
It just seems like that one fits. I don't know why. It's just a hunch.
Yeah.
And so, but you still have to have
they had before,
right? And you still have to have star power. So there. So put the U.S. title on John Cena. Put him on SmackDown with the U.S. title. And here we go. You know, let's
well,
see what
that's going to be the interesting thing, because you talk about the star power aspect. I think a lot of people believe, like, Roman's going to be on Raw, Cena will be on SmackDown, and that makes perfect sense. But I could see a scenario where they're both on Raw, and SmackDown is kind of this new era guys where it's Seth Rollins, and it's AJ Styles, and it's Kevin Owens, and it's Sami Zayn, and it's guys like that. And who knows who else might be added to that, especially from NXT. So it is kind of that new era-esque show. Problem with that is that if you do decide to go with this United States championship run again with John Cena, and he's going to do the challenge again, who's he going to face? I mean, there's going to be challengers, obviously, on Raw, but it's not going to be the same as what it was before when he was wrestling all these fresh faces and having all these great matches, because in that aspect on Raw, it's going to be kind of the old guard, I guess.
Yeah, that's possible. So, talking to Brian Fritz from Sporting News and Between the Ropes podcast. Follow him on Twitter at Brian Fritz. So let's go to we can't leave Extreme Rules without, you know, Roman vanquishes AJ Styles. He's standing in the ring alone, holding up the belt, and then here comes Seth Rollins, and you know, like you said, the place goes nuts. The next night on Raw, Seth goes full on heel mode. The crowd is still cheering him. And now we get the main event for Money in the Bank set, Roman versus Seth for the title. Is it too soon, or is this just going to be, this is the new era, so hey, why not?
I think that they're doing the match because they know the brand split's coming up, so they want to do this match already. And I think Roman's going to keep the championship. And I think once they do the brand split, they're going to be Roman on Raw and Seth Rollins on SmackDown. It's just that the match makes too much sense not to do right now, and they've got to get it out of the way before this brand split goes into effect.
A couple other things from Raw. First of all, the segment with Charlotte and Dana Brooke and Rick. Mm. Now, storyline-wise, makes perfect sense. You know, she wants to go out on her own. You know, she now has Dana Brooke, so let's get rid of Daddy. How uncomfortable were you watching it? And B, was I the only one that thought it went a little too long?
It went too long. Charlotte got emotional as well, which I can't blame her because of her relationship with her dad. We knew that Rick was going to cry because he is so emotional.
Rick cries at everything.
Yeah, and yeah, he does. And it was uncomfortable to watch. You know, the thing that I took out of it too was, I think we could all see that this was coming, but it happened awfully quick. Like, they were just over the last couple of weeks just starting to have, like, these little things where Charlotte was upset with her dad. And it felt like they took a huge leap ahead with what they did during Raw. And the funny thing is, I think you can make the same claim with AJ Styles and how he broke up with the club, because, you know, he said, you know, I told you guys in the beginning I didn't want your help. Well, they haven't really revisited that since those guys first came onto the scene a month ago. I mean, they did it for maybe a week or two, and it was just kind of like small things. But since then, we haven't heard anything about it. And he decides to go back to that claim, and just like, instead of, you know, building up to this breakup, you know, over the next 3, 4, 5 weeks, they just say, boom, it's over. Let's go our separate ways.
Yeah, I thought the breakup, especially, like you said, the club, especially after they branded them the club, which, again, I keep wanting to, you know, put a bar across my steering wheel. But it just seemed like it was they kind of forgot about it. Then all of a sudden, oh, hey, by the way, we're going to split you guys up. It just was that a creative lapse, or was this, you know, how much do you think it was by design?
I think it was a little bit of both. I think they look at it now, it's probably more by design, but they might have looked at it from one way, and I think that myself and a lot of other fans look at it as another way. When it came to how quickly they jumped the gun and when it came to these things, I think that they're also looking at a timetable. Maybe Vince said, hey, you know what? I know that this brand split's coming, and I want to get all my ducks in a row before then. So let's just do it now. And that's the thing, too. I mean, when it comes to this brand split, and it's going to have an effect on the storylines, obviously. I don't know who knew that this was coming or when they might have known. Hell, you know, the creative team might not have even known until that press release came out today, you know. And here's another thing, too, when it comes to that brand split real quick. I hope that whenever they do the draft, the talent is told in advance that their schedule is going to be changing because they're going to be on one brand or the other. Unlike what happened in the past where like only John Cena and maybe Triple H and one other guy knew what brand they were going to be on in advance. And everybody else found out legit shoot style that night what brand they're going to end up on by either being announced on Raw or they had to go to WWE.com to read where they were headed.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one. They need, you know, look, let's, you know, everything else is predetermined. Let's let everybody know. So, I mean, I get that you want a natural reaction. These guys can sell. It's okay. You know, let them know in advance so that they can plan. I mean, it's, you know, the least they could do for these guys. As we start to wrap up here, and thank you so much for joining us. The podcast with Mick Foley and Shane McMahon. What were your thoughts? Was there anything groundbreaking that you learned in that podcast? It seemed there was a couple moments for me that seemed kind of okay. That makes sense, but it wasn't. I don't think there was anything that may have shook the earth, so to speak, that we learned between Shane and Vince.
Yeah, I don't think there was any huge revelations. You know, I know that Mick pressed him pretty hard about his relationship with Triple H. And Shane wasn't going to really give anything up there. And, you know, I don't know if it's contentious or not, but there are some question marks there. I think if they had more time, obviously, I think the things that we would have liked to have heard a little bit more about were, do you regret leaving the company? Do you want to come back in the company in an executive role, in a management role? If so, where would you like to be when it comes to that? And I think one of the other interesting questions I would want to know is, if you had not left the company when you did, where do you think you would be in the pecking order?
Yeah, that's true. I mean, and those questions would definitely have been interesting to hear his responses to, but you're right. Mick did press him pretty hard about himself and Triple H, and Shane was very diplomatic and kind of just was very politically
short.
Correct. Yes. That's another way.
He was very yes, no, very direct, but very quick with his answers.
I'm happy that he makes my sister happy. That was like, okay, we message received there.
That was a question that I almost wonder, because, and we can't tell because Mick has such long hair, that I have a feeling that Mick was wearing an earpiece and there was a producer or somebody going, press him, press him, press him.
You've got to imagine there was. You really do. So, yes. Brian Fritz from the Orlando Sentinel, Sporting News, Between the Ropes. Hey, by the way, Super Bowl is coming down to your neck of the woods in, what, 4 years?
Something like that. Yeah, going down to Miami, so I'll be making the 4-hour trek down the turnpike to go down there.
That's, you know, we'll see if maybe the Dolphins will be good enough by then. You know, one of the things I know, that's it's kind of like saying the Texans are going to play in the Super Bowl next year at NRG. So
I got to tell you something, buddy.
Yes, sir.
Okay. I know that I live here in Florida. I originally grew up in Illinois. I spent most of my life here in Orlando, Florida. But I get criticized about this all the time. I still have deep roots to my state of Illinois.
Okay.
Now, mind you, the first NBA team I ever watched were the Lakers. I was a late bloomer kind of in watching the NBA, so I am a Laker fan. I don't know if people get on me about that. All my other sports allegiances are tied to Illinois. I am, you know, I'm a Blackhawks fan. I am a Cubs fan. I am a Bears fan. And because I'm a Bears fan, I remember a particular Monday Night Football game that happened back in 1985. And guess what? I still hold a grudge against the Miami Dolphins for defeating my Chicago Bears team and stopping their glorious undefeated season. And because of that, I will forever hold a sports grudge against the Miami Dolphins.
I feel the same way about the 49ers. In fact, I ran into Dwight Clark at AT&T Stadium at a Cowboys game, and I said, aha, you're the reason they didn't have a third title under Landry. Okay, it's you. But, yeah, I had the same thing with the Niners, you know, because they had to stop that run of the 90s Cowboys as well as the Cats. So I get you. I understand.
I mean, I praise it as a sports grudge because those are fun, but I hate the Dolphins, and I love it when they lose.
Okay, well, there we go, and there you have it. You know, the thoughts of the Miami Dolphins by Brian Fritz. Brian.
So what we take away from this podcast is the brand split is coming, and Brian Fritz hates the Miami Dolphins.
Exactly, that's it. So, anyway, all right, man. Well, Brian, it's good to talk to you again. Everybody, check out Between the Ropes podcast on iTunes and everywhere. Check him out in Sporting News. Check him out in the Orlando Sentinel. And go UCF baseball, right?
You got it, man.
What's the score?
Right now is a 4-4 ball game in the eighth inning here in the second game of their conference play, where they lost game one. It's double elimination. So,
right.
It's, you know, got to win to stay alive, or if you lose, your season's over.
And who are the Bulls playing?
What the hell did you just say?
Aren't they the Bulls? Oh,
the
UCF
Bulls?
Golden Knights. Forgive me.
They're not even the Golden Knights.
Central
anymore.
Florida. These directional schools. Okay.
Dude, the Bulls. Oh my God, I'm so pissed at you right now. The Bulls are USF, as in South
no.
Florida.
It's these directional
Tampa,
schools.
As in the home of the scummer, as our arch rival bastards down the road on I-4.
All right, fine.
USF.
Okay. So, who are the Golden Knights playing?
They're the Knights. They're no longer Golden.
Oh.
Can I make a stupid omission here, real quick?
Okay.
I'm not sure who they're playing.
Okay, now hold it. You're giving me grief, but I'm in Texas, okay? I know that Longhorns play Oklahoma State in their first game. They may be losing
right
now.
Okay, they're playing Cincinnati. They're playing Cincinnati.
Okay. Who might be joining the Big 12 tomorrow. So,
right.
You know, we'll see.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, UCF made a big thing a couple of years ago how – they drop the Golden. They're no longer the Golden Knights. They're just the UCF Knights. And they get really ticked off at ESPN and other outlets when they call them the Golden Knights.
I understand. I get it. Okay, sure. Hey, who knows? UCF may be joining the Big 12 before it's all
right.
Said and done.
I mean, hey, man, if they want to get here, they want to get their hooks into the state of Florida and all this prime talent we got down here. They should get the invite.
There we go. That's what we'll send Red McCombs down there and seal the deal.
Sure, why not? Come on, Red.
Brian Fritz, thank you so much.
You got it, buddy. Anytime.
As soon as I said Bulls, I knew Brian would give me grief. That was a brain freeze on my part. You know, Central Florida, South Florida, directional schools. You know, what can you say? It's hard to keep up with them. But again, thanks to Brian Fritz from the Orlando Sentinel and Sporting News, and of course, catch his podcast, Between the Ropes. Great podcast. Got a lot of great guests on there. Check him out. He's really good listen. Let's switch gears for a moment. Talk Ring of Honor. They are getting ready for their road to Best in the World coming up starting next week. A couple of matches that they've got going on. I know on June 4th, which is a Saturday, they've got, I think they're in Indianapolis. They're doing kind of a captain's match series with our good buddy Ray Rowe taking on Christopher Daniels, one half of the Addiction, the current Ring of Honor tag champs. And then that night, Hanson will take on the other half of the Addiction, Kazarian. And then on June 5th, there's a no DQ match on that tour where War Machine gets the opportunity to reclaim the Ring of Honor World Tag Team Championships, but they have to get by the Addiction first. That's a no DQ match. And, of course, this is leading up to their next pay-per-view, Best in the World, on June 24th. The big match they've got, they've already announced, Jay Lethal defending the Ring of Honor World title against Jay Briscoe, who lost the title to Lethal a year ago, almost a year ago, at Best in the World. So this is Briscoe's rematch that he never got. So he gets the opportunity to vanquish Jay Lethal and to stop Jay Lethal from going over 1 year as Ring of Honor World Champion. That'll be a great match. We saw the replay they had on Ring of Honor television a couple weeks ago. They were going to focus on Jay Lethal, and they replayed that match from last year. And you talk about near falls, hard hitting, and everything. That's going to be one hell of a match. So make sure you catch that on pay-per-view from Ring of Honor Wrestling. Speaking of wrestling, switch gears to TNA for a moment. We saw last night on Impact Wrestling, Drew Galloway and Bobby Lashley will compete at TNA's next pay-per-view. Yes, TNA is going to have a pay-per-view. It's their Slammiversary event on June 12th. I believe that's going to be in Orlando at Universal Studios. So it'll be Bobby Lashley versus Drew Galloway for the TNA World title. I believe that's in a steel cage. I may be wrong. I'll have to look that back up. But again, that's supposed to be the blow off to that feud. We're also seeing that Matt Hardy, this new look Matt Hardy, and yes, first when I saw Seth Rollins show up on Extreme Rules and noticed that his blonde streak was missing, first thing I thought of was Matt Hardy stole Seth Rollins' blonde streak. So, but Matt Hardy and Jeff Hardy will battle at Slammiversary. So that should be a fun match to keep it on. Impact Wrestling has been putting on some good television for all of their financial woes and the talk about late paychecks and all that. The episodes we've seen so far on Pop TV have been pretty good, and it's fun to check out. So make sure you catch them. TNA Wrestling Tuesday nights on Pop. You wonder how much the SmackDown going live is going to affect that, because they're SmackDown is on USA Network, which is a much bigger cable network, has more clearance on cable systems and satellite systems than Pop TV. So, Dixie Carter just can't catch a break. First, WWE takes the talent, with Eric Young and Bobby Roode and Samoa Joe, took AJ Styles before he could sign back up with TNA, and now they're going to take Tuesday nights away from her. So, as I've joked many times before, I think the wrestling version of the Crying Jordan meme should be the Crying Dixie meme. So we'll see about that. As we wrap up here, I also want to mention, we talked about this last week, and we are proud to be part, Sports Guys Talking Wrestling, proud to be partners with NWA Pro Wrestling Texas. Great group of talent, great group of management. Their next event on Saturday, June 18th at Pinball's Kingdom in Buda is a benefit. This will be a benefit put on by Walk the Path. If you listen to our live broadcast with Hayes County Radio at their last event, you have to hear about a family, a young man that goes to Tobias Elementary School there in Kyle. His family lost everything they had in a devastating fire. The fire happened the day before Memorial Day, or excuse me, day before Mother's Day. And you've got to imagine how awful that must have been for that mom and the dad and those kids to be out there on Mother's Day and see their entire lives go up in smoke. Well, NWA Pro Wrestling Texas and Walk the Path decided they wanted to do something about that. And so their next event on June 18th is going to be a benefit. Tickets, they have the VIP tickets, VIP front row tickets for $20, but general admission tickets are $10. $10 gets you into the door to see some great wrestling action. Here's the great thing about that. For every general admission ticket that is sold, $5 of that $10 is going to go to that family to help them rebuild their lives. So not only do you get to see some great wrestling action, you get to help a family rebuild and restore their faith in their community. And when I say great wrestling action, we had the first match announced this week on Facebook. And this is a huge match. Godzilla Jack Stane, the current NWA World Heavyweight Champion, is granting a title match that his opponent has waited 15 years to get. His opponent is former NWA World Heavyweight Champion and former ECW World Heavyweight Champion and current Ring of Honor star, Steve Corino. That's right, the king of old school. In 2001, he had a six-month reign as NWA World Heavyweight Champion. He was in a match. He was injured. The match was stopped. And the title was taken from Steve Corino. Steve Corino never got a rematch until now. 15 years later, the king of old school, the man that loves to proclaim he is an evil man, the man that has terrorized Ring of Honor, as I said, he is also a former ECW World Heavyweight Champion. He will get his rematch. He will get his title shot on June 18th in Buda at Pinball's Kingdom when he faces Godzilla Jack Stane to try to recapture that NWA World Heavyweight Championship. That right there will main event any card in any organization in the world. You imagine the veteran, all the experience that Steve Corino has, for him to be able to vie for the oldest prize in the business. And that's going to happen at Pinball's Kingdom in Buda on June 18th. In this very special event, this benefit for this family. So make sure you're out there. Make sure you buy tickets. You can actually buy tickets in advance. Check out Pro Wrestling Texas on Facebook. There is information there on how you can buy your tickets in advance. There's also opportunities for sponsorships and for donations, and you'll see the information there. Check that out. I've said once again, of course, Sports Guys Talking Wrestling and Hayes County Radio will team up again to bring you that event live in a live streaming broadcast. So if for some reason you can't make it, or, of course, if you're outside the Austin area or outside Central Texas, you can catch us on Hayes County Radio live, and we will have opportunities for you to help even if you are outside the Central Texas area. But I promise you this will be a fun event. There will be more matches announced. I think I did see them announce a six-person tag team match. It's Lainey Luck will team up with BB&J, Bam Bam Malone, Jackson Stone. They like to call themselves the prettiest tag team in the world, Youth Gone Wild, but they get the team of Christy Janes and the Vet Club, APOC, and, of course, the NWA North American Heavyweight Champion, Tim Perfect Storm. That'll be a great match. There'll be more matches announced, so make sure you check out Pro Wrestling Texas on Facebook. You can follow them on in Twitter at PROWRESTX, and you'll see the information on how you can help, how you can attend this great event, and how you can, you know, there'll be ways to donate to help this young family put their lives back together. As we get closer to this weekend, of course, this is Memorial Day weekend. Above all else, as I said, I'm a veteran myself, so please remember the purpose of this weekend, the purpose of the holiday, to remember those who gave the ultimate sacrifice so that we can live in a country where we get to enjoy things like go to wrestling shows and cheer on the good guys and boo the bad guys, or nowadays, cheer on the bad guys and boo the good guys. However you do it, just remember this day, this weekend, and remember those that did give their lives in defense of this country. I think every year of my grandfather, who fought in World War II, and he was a gunner in the Army Air Corps at the time, spent 18 months in a German POW camp, and luckily he made it out alive, but his two brothers died during World War II. And so, as I said, a veteran myself, my hat's off to them. And one thing, of course, you know, everybody talks about baseball. And, of course, here the Round Rock Express have games all weekend here in up the road to Dell Diamond in Round Rock. But there's also some great wrestling action happening around Central Texas. I'll mention one of the cards. Total Championship Wrestling has a card. It's actually their TV taping on Saturday night in Killeen. You can check them out on Facebook at Total Championship Wrestling. Got some great matches. No matter where you are, whether you're in Central Texas, in Austin, across the state of Texas, or even around the world, go see independent wrestling. It's the most affordable and most accessible wrestling entertainment you can find anywhere. Great matches. Guys that are really working hard. They work their tails off to perform well in the ring, to bring cheers and smiles to the fans and make the fans ooh and ah. We see it all the time, whether it's NWA Pro Wrestling Texas or Inspire Pro Wrestling or Anarchy Championship Wrestling. You know, just some great action. Not to mention, you get access to the wrestlers. You get to shake their hand and take their picture and get their autograph. So make sure you go out and go check out some whether it's the NWA, of course, you know, a brand close to my heart, or anybody else for that matter. Just go see some independent wrestling. It'll be a fun time. As we wrap up here, something that was noted last week and this week. Last week, it was noted 20 years ago. I believe last Friday was the 20th anniversary of the curtain call. And for those of you that may not know, the curtain call was a moment of pulling the curtain back, so to speak, which in 1996 was unheard of. But it was a moment that set into motion events that would change wrestling forever. The curtain call was... it was at Madison Square Garden, a WWF show at the time, now WWE. I believe it was Razor Ramon versus Shawn Michaels, or Razor Ramon. Yeah, I think it was Razor Ramon, Shawn Michaels. After the match, they hugged. Then Triple H comes out. Then Kevin Nash, then known as Diesel, comes out. Because, of course, it was known by them that Kevin Nash and Scott Hall would be going over to WCW. Again, this was pre-wrestling websites and, you know, kind of the early era of the internet. So that news hadn't really got out. So to acknowledge that they're friends, even though in storyline they may be, you know, rivals, was unheard of, and yet they did it. Well, of course, the ramifications, and you can see all this in I don't mean to plug the WWE Network. But they've got some specials on there about the click and about the curtain call, and you can see all that. Then fast forward to 1 week later, 20 years ago, which would be 20 years ago this Friday, May 27th, 1996, on an episode of WCW Monday Nitro. During a match, and if I remember correctly, it was like Steve Dahl versus I can't remember the guy's name, and it didn't really matter. Colonel Rob Parker, Robert Fuller, the longtime veteran, legendary wrestling manager that worked a lot in the Tennessee area at the time. He was ringside with his client, so to speak, when suddenly in the stands, here comes this gentleman. It's Razor Ramon, except it's not Razor Ramon. It's Scott Hall coming through the stands, comes down, jumps the guardrail, grabs a microphone, goes up into the ring, and proclaims, among other things, "You know who I am, but you don't know why I'm here." And this shocked everybody, myself included, as a 30-something-year-old wrestling fan who had just seen him on WWE television a week or two prior, and now all of a sudden he's in a WCW ring. It's an attack. It's an invasion. Well, as we know, that set in motion the events that put in place that eventually became the NWO, the New World Order. And so tonight, as we wrap up this episode on Wednesday, May 25th, 2 days shy of 20 years ago, we'll go out to the music of the New World Order. And as we do, we'll let you know that you can find Sports Guys Talking Wrestling on Facebook at Sports Guys Talking Wrestling. Find us on Twitter at SGTWATX. You can subscribe to us on iTunes. And if you do subscribe to us on iTunes, make sure you follow it. Make sure you rate us, review us. Let us know you're enjoying the show. If there's something you'd like to hear on a future episode, let us know. We'll do our best to make sure that happens. We are planning some guests in the coming weeks, and so we'd like to make that happen. So let us know. We'll try our best to do it. Of course, you can follow me, Stu Myrick, at Stu Myrick. And that'll do it for this week's episode of Sports Guys Talking Wrestling. Again, my thanks to Brian Fritz from the Orlando Sentinel, from Sporting News, and, of course, his podcast, Between the Ropes. And thanks to you for listening and joining us. I'm Stu Myrick. Happy Memorial Day weekend. And we will see you at the matches. New World Order.